Well, good morning. Everybody awake now? You hear an awful lot of songs out right now where, you know, people are saying it's not as easy as they used to say it was. And it is, and it's getting harder and harder to stay on the course. It's getting harder and harder to really trust and believe, but we just have to keep trusting and believing and staying. Because God is more than able to do whatever we have need of. Amen. Well, Father, we truly do thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house this morning. I'm asking right now, Father, to minister to your people's hearts, their minds, their spirit, their souls, and their bodies. I'm asking, God, that you come in a mighty way, and we need miracles in this place this morning, Father. And I'm asking for those miracles to occur. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I said to God, I said, God, what do you want me to give these people on Sunday? And he said, triple play. I thought, what is triple play? So here it is. This is what you're going to get this morning. All right? In the natural and unassisted, triple play is a line drive that is caught and the base runners are caught off base. You know, if you're playing ball, right? We have a triple play going here, and we cannot lose. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now there's your triple play. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God's triple play. Number one, the love of God, the Creator. Number two, the love / grace of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And number three, the love / communion of the Holy Spirit, the sustainer, the comforter. We have all we have need of, and the world has nothing. So we should never see a Christian going around defeated, because God has fully equipped us with everything that we need to be overcomers. That's why I sang that song, Overcomers. I think a lot of the body of Christ right now does not feel like an overcomer. They feel like they're going down for the last time. But we surely are overcomers. Everything you read right now is saying that this is the worst onslaught that the church has ever had from the enemy. And if you're not careful, it's going to take you out. God has been trying to build us up as strong towers that whenever these onslaughts come our way, they will not steal our joy. Amen. All right, when Jesus died, an unassisted triple play took place. A line drive that caught the enemy and all his cohorts off base. Now, God, this is what things, different things God spoke to me, so I try to put them together, all right? When Jesus died, an unassisted triple play took place. A line drive that caught the enemy and all his cohorts off base. This is what Satan's trying to do to the body of Christ right now. He's trying to catch us off base. He's trying to catch us out of faith. He's trying to make us believe that God is not able. Amen. That song, What If? I love that song. In Numbers 6:22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The good news is God says his blessings are available 24/7. So what was the three things he blessed them with? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. All right, let's just stop for a second. You know, if you're a teacher of any type and you're trying to get a sermon together, you're reading the Word and you're thinking about what's going on in the world, in the body of Christ, and it's really hard to keep encouraging the people of God that God is well able to perform the impossible. And my constant cry is to God, God, this is hard because your body is going under is under such a severe attack. And it looks like the enemy's the winner, and even though he isn't, it looks that way. And it's hard to convince your people that we are victorious ones because your people are under severe attack and they don't feel victorious in any area of their life. This is a reality of what's going on in the church right now, in the body of Christ. God has been trying to build each and every one of us up as strong towers that others can run into. In other words, when you see somebody, the world or another Christian down and out, there should be enough in you to go to them and encourage it. Even though you're in a battle yourself, there should be enough in you to go and encourage them to keep going in Christ. You can't go to them and feel sorry for them. You have to go to them with the hope that you have, and you have to encourage them that God is more than able to do whatever they have need of. And this isn't what's happening. The body of Christ is really down in the molly grubs, and when you see somebody else in molly grubs, you go to them and say, I know it's hard. Then you sit there and have a pity party together, and we can't do that, even though we'd like to. I told God, you have to build us up where we don't get into a pity party with somebody else. Amen. And you know, you could be witness to somebody and all the time your whole world's falling apart. But you can't let them know that. You have to keep right on going and encourage them and lift them up. All right, the threefold/triple blessing of God. Threefold cord is not quickly broken, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is God's prayer, and it is an intense one, revealing his desire for people, his desire to personally be involved in the numbers that we read. That's what I'm talking about. This is God's prayer, and it is an intense one, revealing his desire for people, his desire to personally be involved in blessing. This would continue to be the priestly prayer for Israel and for all who believe. This one we just read in Numbers 6:22-27. This is what we need to stand on, because this is where God is at with us. It is God's express will, as stated even before the Ten Commandments were given through Moses, to bless all the world. To bless all the world. You get that in your spirit, everybody. Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, far from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. And see, this is what he told Abram. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God said, right in his word, that through Abram, that every family would be blessed, so that every family includes us, right? And so that's why we say we walk under the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was revealed in a time of darkness. When God spoke this to them, it's great darkness covering the land. Great darkness is covering the land right now with us. And so God's revealing this to us. He wants to bless us, even though darkness is covering the earth. This was revealed in a time of darkness when people wanted to make a name for themselves. That's going on too. Scheming to become their own gods, that's going on. God says he will abandon us to the darkness of our own making. Now, we can't make gods to our own selves. We have to follow the true God. We have to follow him no matter what's going on in our lives. This is why Christmas and Easter came. Christmas, Jesus was born. Easter came, Jesus died, right? God will not abandon his beloved people. Jesus personally came from heaven to tell and show the world God will indeed bless the world. Now, you know, we say that, but yet we see how Jesus suffered the whole time he was on the earth. And we see how terribly he suffered when he died. But he came to redeem us and he came to bless us. I think our biggest problem is we forget that we're supposed to be a blessing to others. And we think all the time that we should be blessed. And we are blessed and we should be blessed. But instead of us always asking God to bless us, we should be asking God to bless other people. Right? In your own need, you should be praying for somebody else's needs. All right, number two, Jesus is now our high priest. Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. The high priest had to offer sacrifices for his own sins and as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus, even on earth, was constantly praying for the people. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. We're talking about Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned from obedience from what he suffered. All right, sons and daughters. Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. So are you learning obedience from what you're suffering? Think about that. Doesn't matter how much suffering you're going to go through, are you going to be obedient to God and follow him all the days of your life? And once made perfect, we're talking still about Jesus, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. All right, now. From here we discover that Aaron's priesthood, according to God's plan, is given to Jesus. All right, so if you talk about you men who are supposed to be priests in your homes, so you're supposed to be offering up sacrifices to God for your sins, and then you should be keeping your family covered from their sins. But what you need to be doing is being like Aaron and like Jesus and be sin free. And then therefore you can cover your family's sins and get them set free. Now if there is not a man in the household, then the woman is the priest. And you have to do the same thing. I say that because God told me that one time, all right? All right, from here we discover that Aaron's priesthood, according to God's plan, is given to Jesus. This means God's blessing, his benediction over people, the three times intensified prayer that we read at the beginning, is now applicable to all people through Christ. The blessing is now can go to all people because of what Jesus did. None of you are exempt, God is saying. None of you are exempt from these blessings. You keep your own self from being blessed by being disobedient to me. That was from God. By being disobedient to God. God is intensely involved in giving the very best to his children. Number three, the blessings that meet our needs. Look at the six components that says God is wanting to bless us, come to us, and love us. The best news, God really blesses. See, our problem is we don't look at the small blessings that God gives us. We're looking at we want a great big blessing, but God, really, if you look at your life, God blesses you every single solitary day of your life. And see, these are the blessings we just sort of overlook, but you have to look at them if you're going to see the overall picture and if you're going to be an overcomer. All right? Just because, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ephesians 1 verse 3, how blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. God is truly happy to do this for us. You know, I'm quite sure when God created the earth, He just didn't sit there and say, I'm just going to create a bunch of dirt. Then I'm going to create a bunch of animals running around in this dirt. I'm quite sure He had in mind us. I'm quite sure He wanted human beings to be able to enjoy all the good things that He created. Just look at your own self. When you do something, don't you do it for your family? You know, you want them to be happy. You want to create an atmosphere of peace or love or joy, whatever it is you're trying to do. Or on birthdays, we want to create a big party so they can enjoy their time. See what I'm saying? And this is what God, and this is why we do this, because we have the nature of God in us. This is how God wanted to bless us and did bless us. And so we have that inside of us, and we just automatically bless other people. Now, if you're not of God, you won't do that. You won't understand that. And you think it's foolishness when we throw parties and do the things that we do. Even when the way we sang today, you'll think that's foolishness because you really don't have the Godhead inside of you. And so you can't enjoy anything that God has given you. Amen? And don't you think that's why there's not enough joy in the house of God? We don't understand God in His fullness. I was coming down here this morning, and I was sitting in the car thinking, you know, God, the people in the Bible were barbaric. You know, the way they had the Colosseum and killed the, everybody cheered on and watched all this gory stuff going on, and everything they did to your son, he was beaten beyond recognition, and everybody was cheering it on. And I said, really, it's barbaric if you really look at it. And, you know, and then God, you know, He would just wipe out whole towns, whole cities, you know, go out in the battlefield and kill them all. You know, I thought, you know, this is, doesn't sound like blessing and peace to me, right? And sometimes I have to shut my mind off because it can really go crazy thinking about the things that really went on in the Bible. But then I was thinking all that because you read about the guy who ran to that group of people and killed one and injured all the other ones, and how they go out and kill each other and think nothing of it. And with Alicia being up there in Philadelphia in the hospital, every day somebody is doing drive-by shootings, killing people, or just shooting people, period, just for the fun of it, raping people, you know. And I think we are still barbaric. You know, we have not gotten the peace of God within us, and the world has gone crazy, has it not? But yet, with all that going on, each one of us can look at our own lives and say, God, You have really blessed me. Amen. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, oh, I love the city. I would love to live in Philadelphia. And I said, why would you like all that mess? They said, I can't stand this quietness. This is driving me crazy, sitting here in all this quiet. How can you live it this way? I said, well, I guess you're right. And that's how the big cities are big cities like that, because there's people like that hustle and bustle and in the fear and all that. They love that. They don't want the quiet peace of the country. Amen. I get back to my studying here. But how about you? Doesn't your mind sometimes just go wild thinking about, really, when you read the Bible and you really let it sink into what really went on in the Bible? And then you look at, because, you know, everything's going on now that was going on then, you know? You know, homosexuals. God had to bring that whole army in off the field because they would have been really messed up. They were starting to become homosexuals. You had to bring them in so they get it with their wives. And so what we look nowadays at homosexuals think, this is terrible. Well, look what was going on in the Bible. Look how those in Lot's town where he was, how they wanted to rape the angels. You know, it's nothing's new under the sun, right? Isn't that what the Word tells us? And so if you really get into your Word and read your Word and understand your Word, then you won't be so shocked at what's going on in the world today. And because God said, you need to get in there and really see what happened. Yeah, we like to sort of, we read that kind of stuff, but we like to go to the good stuff. But you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly are all mixed together, right? Always have been and always will be. And so, you know, even in your own families, there's always the good, the bad, the ugly. And we're always going to make mistakes, and we're going to try to beat ourselves up, wish we hadn't done it, but you did it, get over it. And that's not easy, but get over it and move on. If not, you're stuck, and you're never going to get to heaven. So you have the triple play going in your life. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to help you get over it, right? Where am I at? All right, God is truly happy to do this for us. You had to bring us pleasure. He planted even before the world was made. There was joy in his heart over this intense desire to love the world and to become personally involved as a loving father over his family, providing what's needed to make life, eternal life, fantastic. I wish we as children of God could say life is fantastic. I wish we could get up and say, somebody say, how are you today? I am so full of joy, I can't stand my own self. And then next person say, everything's falling apart. You know, I wish we could really get up and say that. No matter if it is falling apart, if we could just get up and say that with truth in our heart. You know, it's not going to get any better than this. Your God has provided everything we have need of. And he's already told us the gross darkness was coming. He already told us if you're his, you're going to suffer. He already told us that we're human, we're flesh and blood, we're going to make mistakes. He's already, if you read the Word of God, it's always constantly telling you how to forgive and forget. Come on. And you know, so many times, you know, okay, so your husband hurts you. Okay, you hurt me. Now I'm going to hurt you. Now you have two hurts to deal with, you know. Isn't that how the world works? That's how the church works. And we need to get over all that kind of stuff. All right, so you hurt me. Me hurting you isn't going to help anything. What I'm going to have to do is take this thing to God and get the pain gone. I'm going to have to take this thing to God and ask him to get all the rejection, whatever you're feeling, out of this thing. I just laid in bed last night and did that. I just said, God, I just want you to go in and give me a new overhaul. If there's anything in here that's not of you, please take it out. Any rejection, any pain, any unforgiveness, just take it out. And I think we need to do that every single solitary day, because we don't know whenever the enemy creeps in and places something in us that is not of God. We don't know it's there, but lo and behold, in a couple of days we'll know it's there, because he sneaks in there, places in there, then he starts building on it. Okay? Come on. All right. He protects us, or he keeps us. God is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before his presence. So if you fell before you knew this, now you know this is one, you don't fall again. He's able to keep us from falling. There isn't a one of us, and I don't care if you're, me including, I don't care if you teach, I don't care what you do, there's not one of us that hasn't fallen in some area of our lives, in our walk with God at some point. Not a one of us. And if you're one of those that hasn't, we want you to get up here and give us a good sermon, all right, with the Holy Spirit flowing so strong that we're all delivered. Amen? Come on. All right, God will protect, Jude 24:25. And now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy. See that? All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, glory, majesty, power, and authority belong to him in the beginning, now, and forevermore. Amen. It tells you right there in Jude 24:25 that God is able to keep you from stumbling. He is, he is, he is, he is, he is. Get that in your spirit. He is. I didn't say the enemy wasn't going to come and tempt you. He isn't going to keep the enemy from coming and tempting you. But when the enemy comes to tempt you, he is able to keep you from stumbling. And if you happen to slip, the first thing you do is, God, forgive me. God, make me stronger in that area. God, undergird me and help me get through these kind of dumb things that I do, you know, when that I don't want to do. What does Paul said? The things I want to do, I do. And the things I don't want to do, you do. Come on. We all do these things. Everyone sitting in here. So, wife, if your husband has done something to you, you've done something to him somewhere along the line, too. Amen. Maybe his sin against you is bigger than your sin, but, you know, it doesn't matter. We should go move on and forgive and forget. All right, joy. Face shining. God is welcoming us with joy. Not only present us faultless, but also present us before God with exceeding joy. I do not see the joy of the Lord on everybody's faces. I see trouble brewing on the face. All a little, you know, going on. But it says here that God has welcomed us with joy, not only present us faultless, but also present us before God with exceeding joy. Exodus 33 tells a story of Moses wanting to have a face-to-face chat with God. But God said no, because his holiness, his presence of absolute purity, will blow sinners away. His face, if seen, will vaporize people. As a result of granting Moses' desire, all Moses got to see was his back. Now, you know, just stop there. Moses didn't yell, God, bring me to the mountain, did he? Moses did not present the burning bush, did he? But, you know, God made the burning bush, and then Moses looked, and then God said, Moses, come up hither. And so Moses said, well, let's have a face-to-face talk. And he said, no, if we do, I'll kill you. But I'll let you see my back, and we can talk that way. Amen? But look how anointed Moses was when he came down off the mountain. He had to cover his face because it shone so greatly from the presence of God that people couldn't be around him. All right, but today we get to see God's face shining with joy over us. Why? Because John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. So Jesus and God are one. And God has great joy, so Jesus has great joy. So we're claiming that we have Jesus inside of us, so we should have great joy, joy unspeakable. Now I want to see that joy starting to manifest. Amen? Though through Christ we get to see God, we get to be pure in heart through belief, through faith in Jesus who makes us clean. When we trust him as Savior to cleanse us from all that's not right in us, he makes us right. Now, when I wrote that scripture, I and my Father are one, you know, saw that scripture, then I said, through Christ we get to see God. So we can't look at God face to face, but we see Jesus all through the scripture. Jesus comes to us and we actually see him in visions, right? So when we see that, then we're looking at God, at the face of God. So we do get to see the face of God, but Jesus wasn't around when Moses was. So we couldn't look upon Jesus' face to see God, but we can. You see this? Come on, we're in the triple play. All right, grace is gracious. God is giving us grace, not what we deserve for our sins. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. It's not anything we do. It's all about God. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. Amen. God is willing to bless us. It is more than we can dream or hope for. He is the driving force, the initiator, the gift giver. The question is, do we trust him to do it? No, we don't. Let's be honest. If we trusted him to do it, we'd be walking around singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We'd be jumping up and down and just, you know, we wouldn't have a negative thought or action about us whatsoever. So I said, God is willing to bless us. It is more than, now see, God told me, he said, daughter, I'm willing to bless you. Are you willing to receive? He told me this a couple years ago. So he's willing to bless us. It is more than we can dream of or hope for. He is a driving force, the initiator, the gift giver. And question is, do we trust him to do it? No, we don't. Let's be honest this morning. No, we don't. Not to the fullest. Because if we really trust him to the fullest, we wouldn't be going around racking our brain, how am I going to get my money to pay my rent, you know? This is your rent. This is your house, God. You have to pay the rent for me. So that's what Kenneth and Gloria Copeland always do. They did it from the day one. God, this is your bill. You've got to pay it. And God always sent the money. But they were working for God. They weren't out there being slackers. All right. All right. E, smile. Relationship with a smile. The expression "lift up his countenance" in verse 26 is similar to the English smile. W.A. Criswell said that. This is what God wants to say to us in Matthew 25:34. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. See, it's just those who are blessed by his Father. So if you can't believe you're blessed, then you shouldn't come. All right? Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So, can you believe you are blessed by the Father? Then he says, come, take your inheritance, which is the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And Matthew 25:21 says, come and share your master's happiness. Come on. God's invitation to joy is for us when we trust him and live for him, serving him as master. If we could just get this together, come on, if we just get this together. See, I'm really trying to work on this really, I am not trying, I am working on this really hard. And little Isaiah went to bed at 9:30 last night, and at 9:45, I said, Larry, isn't this wonderful? I'm sitting here studying, the baby isn't out there ripping and tearing and jumping out of bed and throwing things everywhere, and he's asleep, and I can study in at 10:30. Hi, Mom, how are you? There he stood. I said, oh, you're up. 3:30 this morning, he finally went to bed. But I couldn't get anything done because, you know, but I had made a promise to God. God, I'm not going to yell at him. I'm going to keep my peace with your help. And I'm just going to love him. And at 3:30, I said, baby, my mom's loved you all night. Now I think it's time you go to sleep. You know, he's laying there, you're wanting to smell my armpits, you know, and he's wanting to kiss me all over the face and, you know, poking my eyes to see if they're open or not, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I'm keeping my peace. I'm not yelling. So I'm working really hard on getting this joy and keeping it. And I think the enemy's testing me to see if I'm really going to do this thing. And so I say, you don't yell at my mom. I'm not yelling at you. Don't you yell at me. So then he whispers, this is fine. But see, I'm keeping my peace. And now he's trying to keep his peace. And we might get this thing together. So I'm saying as an example, you know, if you would do that in your own home, or in your own life, you have to fight it, you know, because I could have got really upset. You know, and I'm sitting at my computer trying to look at songs, and he wants to watch these young kids break dance or whatever it's called, you know. And I said, I've got to listen to my song. Now I want to watch this. And if he doesn't see this, then he starts screaming. I said, no, it's good. We'll watch this. Because I don't want to yell and carry on with him. So I'm being tested to see if I'm really, really going to walk in this. Amen. So why don't you just try something and allow God to work you through it. It does get easier, too. As the hours went along, it got easier. So what I do to him this morning, he didn't want to get up. I kept yelling, Isaiah, Isaiah, time to get up. He said, shut up. Isaiah, Isaiah, it's time to get up. Shut up. That's what I wanted you to do at 3:00 this morning. You wouldn't do it. So Isaiah, Isaiah, get up. He finally got up and smiled and he's all right, I'm up. I heard you. You know, but we kept our peace. Kept our joy. All right, we're F, peace. Where am I at here? All right, peace. God wants to give us peace, not war. Romans 5, see, it used to be war with him and I, but we're working on peace now. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Tell me something. How do you think Paul and Silas was able to sit in a prison cell, beaten, their backs cut open, and they poured salt on those wounds, and still sang in praise to the Father? They weren't sitting there weeping and crying and cursing God. They were praising and rejoicing in the midst of their bitterest trials. So you really need to think about it. Look at that Bible and see what it's saying and think about what the disciples really went through, and they went through it with joy. They just kept right on preaching, kept right on doing what they were doing. Even in the midst of the worst conditions, they still did it. Even now, it is there for us to experience in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Oh, well, now we failed in that one. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. We don't do that properly. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So as you get kicked out of your house, you say, you stand there saying, thank you, Jesus. This is what you wanted for me. I'm out on the street so I can witness. Come on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Who was the pastor, preacher, that his wife had 12 kids or something like that? Shambach. And you know, she didn't have a husband. She's at the table every meal. Remember his story? And she'd make them all sit down and pray and thank God. She was always thanking God for the food that was on the table. And every time somebody would, when she was through praying, somebody would ring the doorbell, and they had a full-fledged meal there for the whole family that prepared for them. And they all sit down and ate. And Shambach said he used to open one eye and look around and say, Mom's going crazy. There's no food at all on this table. And she's thanking God for the big abundance of food that's sitting there. But every time somebody rang the doorbell and gave them their dinner. Don't you wish we all had that kind of faith? We can, but we're going to have to work at it. Amen. Can you see the great benefits of faith in God? This morning I'm asking you to take your eyes off of the darkness coming upon this earth and asking you to renew yourself in the great hope of this intense personal blessing of God. And take your eyes off the darkness that's even in your own life. Put your eyes back on Jesus and thank Him that He knows exactly what's going on in your life, that He knows exactly why you are where you are at. And instead of complaining about that, rejoice in it, and then just watch Him bless you abundantly. This is the truth. God wants us to bless Him where we are at in our circumstances. Then turn around and let it flow whenever you are. So renew yourself in the great hope of this intense personal blessing of God. Then turn around, let it flow to others. Be a blessing to others by sharing the news. There can be a heaven on earth through Christ's forgiveness, through God's intense personal agenda of making a hopeless world well up in hope again by His blessings. You know, we can have fun. Guys, look, you're only going to go through this way one time. So why not enjoy your time here? Have any of you ever looked back in life and said, boy, I could kick myself all over town because I did not enjoy my life. I allowed somebody else to destroy my joy. If they don't want to be joyful, too bad for them. You go ahead and start enjoying life. You know, all right, so you could drop over dead, and they're still going to go ahead and do the things they're doing. Why allow somebody else to destroy your joy in your life? Live. Live each day to its fullness in Christ Jesus and be at peace with yourself. Amen. God's face is not turning away from us. Through Jesus, we get the picture. He is not condemning the world. He seeks to bless the world, you and I. Verse 27, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Remember when we read that in the beginning? So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. God has put his name on us and he wants to bless us. His hand of blessing is upon us. And he's said this is a year that he's going to give us all of our promises. Now, can you believe that? It's up to you. Can you believe that? If you can believe it, then you're going to get the blessings that he wants you to have. Through Aaron's priesthood and descendants, which we know now is Jesus, God tells of a triple determination through his personal name, describing his personal will and intention to absolutely bless his people. And Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we don't believe that either. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you declare with confidence that statement? No, you can't. Don't lie. You drop dead in the house of God. Come on. In God we trust, not in flesh. Not in things that perish. We can declare that statement in confidence when we trust God's determination. Turn to him with all of your heart this morning. Believe in him. Confess our failures. Confess our failures, not our mates. Inadequacies, weaknesses, failures. Let him turn our condemned existence into an existence of peace and blessing. Through faith in Christ, the Savior of the world. See, we're too busy telling God about somebody else's faults. And we're not looking inward at our own faults. You can all say amen to that. Every one of you sitting in here, come on. God, you see what he's doing. Come on. Well, God sees what you're doing. You're right now, you're accuser of your brethren. The Antichrist. I really want us to think about this morning. In Christ who died to take away our sins, the price of justice paid up. In Christ we find forgiveness. In Christ we find the blessing we long for. This morning his face is turned toward us, and will you fix your eyes on him? Instead of on your mate, on your children, on your situation. And I know your situation. I'm hearing God say, and he knows that your situations are dire. He knows if he doesn't move in your life, bad things are going to happen. But he can't move until you really believe and trust in him. He can't bless until you're ready to be blessed. And as long as you're sitting around questioning, can God do this, you can't be blessed because you're not ready to receive a blessing. All right? That's just what I heard him say. So there you got that. John 14:11. Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now see, we love to do this, talk about we're going to do the greater works. But Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. If you don't believe that Jesus can bless you, how are you going to do our greater works? If you don't believe that you're walking under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how can you believe that you're going to perform miracles? Are you seeing this? And then verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, the reason why you're not receiving is because you really can't believe that he's even blessing you, wants to bless you. You don't really believe that he knows what he's doing because you're always questioning what he's doing in your life. And so then, there you ask for things, you don't get them, you can't figure out why. Well, you're asking God for stuff that you don't even believe God can do. If you can't believe, if you say he can't do one thing, then you're saying he can't do anything. That is the truth, because God spoke that to me. He said, I can do all things. All right, in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So, okay. You have to first of all believe that God wants to bless you, that he made that promise way back in the beginning, that he wants to bless all the children. And then so that if you can believe that you're blessed, then everything you touch should be blessed. And you won't talk to one pastor, I don't care how big they are, that hasn't had to pray and believe and fast for some things that they received in their lifetime. But they kept trusting and believing in God from day one. They never doubted that he wouldn't do it. They knew he could do it. It was just in his timing. I remember one time it just now came to me, Kenneth Copeland needed, I'll say $20,000. It was a big amount of money. And God said, don't worry, son, it's going to be there on the first when you need it. Well, the first came, the money wasn't there. And I think 2 weeks passed, the money still wasn't there. Well, Kenneth Copeland didn't go out and borrow money. Kenneth Copeland said, God, you said it's going to be here, so it's your problem, not mine. And then all of a sudden he got a phone call, and this man said, Kenneth, I am so sorry. I was supposed to write you a check for this amount. He told the amount. He said, on the first of the month, and I forgot, and God told me I better get it written. So he wrote him the check. Now see, if Kenneth Copeland would have said, well, God isn't going to do it, and he went out and borrowed money and everything else, he would have never got it. But because him and his wife, but see, you have to also have a mate. If you're married, you have to mate that believes, that can agree with you, because you know you two are one. And if you don't have a mate that believes in, then you better get yourself really good in God so that you and God can agree. But him and his wife agreed, and they never wavered one second. They just kept saying, it's going to come. God said it, it's going to, and it came. The exact amount that God said he was going to give and the exact amount that they owed. So that doesn't have to be in money. It can be anything in your life. Anything. And I was sitting last night, you know, with Alicia and her liver transplant. Her mother told me the other day that the doctor had told her she should start preparing for her funeral arrangements, because if she didn't get a liver transplant within a month, she was going to be gone. Well, she got her liver transplant, you know, and she's up there in the hospital. But God said the reason why she's alive today is because you asked me to give her life to you. Because he said, I was going to let her die because of something she had done. And, you know, because my kids are all backslid. He said, but because, and he told me this last night, just explains I'm talking to you, because of your prayer and you asked me to please don't kill her, to let her live, I let her live. See, I know that God can bless. I know that he does answer prayer. And I know that I'm his daughter. And so when I go to prayer, I know he's going to answer that prayer. You have to know this. You have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is in control and he'll do whatever he said he's going to do. But he did tell me he was going to kill her. And then I thought about it. I said, no, God, I don't want that to happen. She has two boys yet that she hasn't seen to raise. I said, she has so much to live for. She's young. Please relent and let her live. And so he did. Everything's not going smoothly. She's had a few setbacks, but she's all right. And she knows it was God that did it. All right? Every blessing. Your children should be blessed too. Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob should be upon you. And if you really and truly trust, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how you're suffering. Jesus did not give up on us, did he? He suffered his whole time he was on earth, and he died a horrible death just so you and I could be blessed. And God's not asking us to be whipped and to be beat beyond recognition. He's just asking us to believe. Amen. Now, Brittany's sitting here, she needs a liver. I'm believing that God's going to miraculously give her a liver. I don't care if somebody's offering to give part of their liver or not. I'm believing that God is going to miraculously give her a liver, and I'm not going to wane from that. That is what I believe. Amen? Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, because she has a part to play in this too. I'm believing for a miracle. I think we all need to believe for miracles in our life and not for doctors to do it. We all need to believe for miracles to flow, because we're walking under the blessing of God, not under the curse. All right, so then Jesus goes on and says, now I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So first, I'm talking about a triple player now. First of all, we had God. Well, we still have God. Then he sent his son Jesus. Now Jesus said, he's not going to leave us alone. He's going to give us another helper. And the helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Father, in all of his goodness, to bless his children, when he took Jesus away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. We are winners the whole way around. We're not going to get caught off base because we're in the triple play of the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have all the weapons of warfare given to us by the Father. And he said that we don't have to stumble. He can keep us from stumbling if we just use our weapons. Amen. What kind of a witness are you if you're constantly slipping back into your sin? That's not a witness for Christ. Amen. In verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. First of all, we have the Father, then the Son, Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And now we're back to the Father, which includes Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I said now we're back to the Father, because God told me a couple years ago, first it was me, then it was my Son, then it was the Holy Spirit, and the church would not change with that. So now I'm back again, and I've come with wrath. All right. But even though he's back again in action, you know, first when he was in action, then Jesus was in action, right? Then the Holy Spirit was in action. Now God's back in action. That's just like if you're a leader and you give somebody a job and they don't do it, then you have to go around. You have to take up that leadership position again and do the job. Well, this is what God did. It wasn't that Jesus didn't do his job. It wasn't the Holy Spirit didn't do his job. The body of Christ did not do their job. Amen. So now God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are back. We have a triple play. So what more can we ask for? I know some of you greedy people can ask for a lot of stuff. But really, truly, if you're honest, what more can you ask for? The world only has one thing, demon, is Satan and all of his cohorts. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angelic hosts in heaven at our disposal. So why aren't we using them? Why are we not using them? I want you to think about this. And, you know, now we have the shofars. And I thought, God, how good you are to this little handful of people. You give us all of heaven, and we don't appreciate it. Think about it. If we appreciated it, we would be different people. We wouldn't be moaning, groaning, complaining about our brothers and our sisters and what's going on in our families and all that stuff. Don't you think that, you know, Jesus suffered the whole time he's on this earth, but yet he went around spreading joy and peace and playing with little babies, didn't he? So what's wrong with us? He enjoyed life. And when his disciples couldn't stand that he was enjoying life, he rebuked them. Amen? We're supposed to eat the food on Sundays or something or other, and he went through, him and his disciples went through and ate the wheat in the field, and, you know, he just enjoyed life. Why did he enjoy life? Well, I'm quite sure he enjoyed heaven before he came down. We all came from heaven, so we were having a good time up there. So what made us turn and be the little witches that we are? Think about that. I thought about that last night. I said, all right, God, you know I was in heaven one time, and I know I was having a good time because I always had a good time here on earth. And I said, then I became born again, and now you were using me. And now all of a sudden, in the last couple of years, I'm acting like I'm never been blessed a day in my life. There's something wrong with me, not with God. I've allowed the world to come in and corrupt my joy. How about you? I've allowed the world to come in and corrupt the way that I believe and think. So there's only one person can correct me, and that's me. I have to admit to my faults and my flaws to God and then say, God, come on. Get me back on course. Let me have the joy that I used to have, you know? Come on. And when Chris published my book, you know, he put the picture of me when I first started, and I was 55 in that picture. And I said, my Lord, I said, look how happy I was there. And you can tell a happy person because they always have a glow on their face. I don't have a glow. You know what I'm saying? You know a happy person. They're content with their life, and they're just always happy. And you can see it on their face. But whenever you're worried and troubled, your face shows it. So, guys, you have a triple play going. All you have to do is enter the game and walk in peace and joy. And today, God wants to reinforce your joy. He's been doing it. He said, but the body has not yet received my joy. They're allowing the little things, the little foxes, to come in and steal their joy. Now, can you and Adam blow over the people for joy? Joy unspeakable and with such strength. I noticed this morning he was trying to blow for, when you're blowing for victory, you had a little bit of a problem there. But I'm believing, you know, the enemy did not want us to be have that victory blown over us. But I know, if you want to come to the altar, I know that God is going to do something with your joy this morning, because he said we all need our joy restored to its fullness. Not just when you're in here, not just when you're hearing the word, but 24/7, even when you're in the midst of the fire. Joy. Joy.